This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I believe with every fibre of my being that the course I have set out is the right one for our country and all our people.
What has been achieved today is not Brexit.
I don't believe this government has negotiated fairly or effectively.
Brexit is a lose-lose situation.
We have always followed the EU mandate.
It is utterly unacceptable to anybody who believes in democracy.
Hello and welcome to our emergency podcast. Yesterday, the country went to the polls and the message was clear. Get Brexit done and get Corbyn done with. I'm Rebecca Hudson and I'm joined by express.co.uk polemicist and columnist Paul Baldwin and head of news, fresh from a late shift. Hello.
I wondered what you were going to say there.
Yeah, I had a few options.
Pregnant pause. Hello.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for doing such a stellar job on the overnight shift. The coverage on express.co.uk was second to none.
Is it morning? I don't know. It's all blurred into one.
Okay, try and keep a little cogent for the people that have bothered to tune in. So a complete and an incredible result, whichever way you look at it. At the time of recording, Boris, we had 649 of 650 seats declared, and Boris had a majority of 77. I imagine it will be 78 by the time we get out of here. We're just waiting for St. Ives to declare after their vote was delayed. A pretty disastrous night for the Labour Party, whichever way you look at it. The red wall of those northern, northern constituencies have fallen to the charms of Boris Johnson, unlike, well, in a very similar way to Carrie Simmons. And here we are, an entirely new political landscape. Paul, what did you make of it?
I thought it was, for me and all other Democrats and believers in democracy, a very deeply satisfying night of politics. I thought, irrespective of which way you voted, democracy won last night. It was effectively the second referendum that everyone's been calling for, and it was a resounding get on with Brexit.
Absolutely. So Brexit is now 48 days away. Boris Johnson has said this morning that there'll be no dither and delay. We're out on the 31st of Jan. And he's now got this incredible mandate to shape our ongoing relationship with the EU and the rest of the world. Donald Trump, you'd have seen, was tweeting about the incredible deal that we're going to strike with him in, 7 or 8 years' time, no doubt. And he also, Boris also has this incredible mandate to enact a vision, a domestic vision, and whether that will be a sort of more centrist, one nation Tory thing that he's been banging on about, or whether he sticks on that kind of centre-right, far-right path, I guess you could call it, is to be seen. I was very surprised, Paul. I think my Twitter feed of sort of left-wing students and comedians clearly did not reflect what was happening outside of London, because I was forecasting a hung parliament or maybe a very slim Boris majority. So to see him get with a majority of 78 is something.
Yeah, I mean, it's been hugely instructive, I think. And I think we were all, I always thought that Boris would get a majority, but nowhere near as thumping a majority as he's ended up with. And I don't even think he or Dominic Cummings could have believed the number that they're turning in. But I think it was hugely instructive that we were all completely wrong-footed by the last couple of weeks of the Labour Party shifting the agenda in maybe in media circles, maybe in London-centric circles. But the rest of the country was not giving a toss. The rest of the country, particularly in the north, the way the northeast has turned blue, it was one of the first shocks of the night for me. There were constituencies there, mining constituencies, old sort of really deeply Labour constituencies who've either never seen a Tory MP in that seat or not for 50, 60, 70 years. And one by one, they all turned blue. And it was unbelievable. I mean, and it just was indicative. I would say that sometimes I was in our media bubble and the Westminster bubble and the London bubble just doesn't get what's going on in the rest of Great Britain.
Mm. So this is, Jeremy Corbyn's waking up to a defeat worse than the 209 seats won by Michael Foot in 1983.
You're absolutely right. Michael Foot was the kind of the joke figure of the late 70s, early 80s. An easily lampooned guy, and deemed to be the worst leader the Labour Party had ever had. Unfortunately, he doesn't hold that title anymore because there's a new contender in town, and he's done so much better at being the worst leader Labour ever had.
Enter stage left, Jeremy Corbyn as the most historically unsuccessful Labour leader in history, which is quite something.
We're speaking with hindsight, but really, it doesn't come as a massive surprise to anyone that Corbyn has failed for being Corbyn and his, for being the unreconstructed 1970s, 80s Marxist that he is. It's not, he was peddling a dream that Britain absolutely did not want. That kind of socialist dream,
Yeah, where did he go wrong? I mean, was it the manifesto, sort of free broadband and 2 billion trees? Was it the anti-Semitism and the complete abject failure of that party to deal with that? Was it him looking like a geography teacher, or was it a slightly incoherent and not very easily to digest policy on the issue of the day, Brexit? What would you say it was?
I think rather brilliantly, you've just answered your own question.
It was
exactly all of those things.
A cocktail.
The anti-Semitism is still, it's so shocking the way the party hasn't dealt with that in 3 and 4 years. And senior people, MPs, have left the party because they're ashamed of the party. And Corbyn, for deliberate reasons, he can't be that inept that he's taken 4 years to do nothing about it. So he must be tacitly approving it. So that turned off voters. There was also the idea that he just stopped short of saying, I'll give everyone free money if they vote for me. the economics were crazy, even to the most, swivel-eyed lefty momentum person. They just didn't add up. And you couldn't do the things he was saying and not end up in utter financial ruin 5, 10, 15 years down the line. And I think everyone see that as well. And the other thing was, politics is about, it's not just about reading the manifesto, it's about personalities, it's about trusting a leader. And Corbyn was never that. He was just never cut out to be a leader of a nation. And the other thing, of course, is, and John McDonnell has said this, and a lot of Labour MPs have come out of the woodwork this morning and said, the country said we wanted Brexit and we just ignored them and we didn't listen and we've paid the price. And that really, I guess, is the real kicker to all of this, that Boris has prevaricated until recently over Brexit. He initially wanted to remain in the EU, but he's both pragmatic as a politician and he gets, I think, the idea that you've got to listen to the people who put you in power or they will kick your ass at the next opportunity. And that's what's happened to the Labour Party. They've done the arrogant Remainer thing that we know better than these idiot lumpen people who voted to leave. And we'll make sure that we'll do what we want, not what they say. And they've been slaughtered for that, and quite rightly so.
Yeah. So this was the de facto second referendum that the Remain camp was so keen to have, and the answer has come back loud and clear from across this country that we want to leave the EU. We want to get it done.
Yeah. For good or ill, for better or worse, we want to. And we've just, we've nailed that completely. The Remainers are a busted flush now. They cannot, they would not dare come back and try and have another go.
Well, this is it. I mean, it's the Remain alliance and the Remain agenda has kind of collapsed, hasn't it? I mean, no one in the TIG, Change UK, whatever that band of people were called, won a seat. They all lost their seats. Jo Swinson of Revoke Article 50 lost her seat. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been flushed away. Even Gina Miller is you know, who's been campaigning for a second vote, has, you know, has kind of accepted that this is
the first time I've ever seen Gina Miller a bit chastened and a little bit like, oh, I might not be absolutely 1,000% right, like I always think I am.
Well, no, she's just admitted. She just admitted that
she admitted
the people's vote is over, and that now they need to use kind of parliamentary mechanisms to try and deliver this country from Brexit. I mean, it is an entirely new political landscape.
It is. It is, absolutely.
What next for the Labour Party then, Paul?
Well, I think
Jeremy Corbyn should probably resign while we're recording this podcast, I would suggest.
He's gone away to think about it, I think, hasn't he? Which is
Has he gone to the allotment?
What's there to think about?
Yeah.
You know, what is there to think about, Jeremy? You're the worst Labour leader in history, and you just destroyed the party again. It will take I think Boris and his successor are in for 2 or 3 terms now. So everyone better get comfortable with that, because the Labour Party are dead and buried right now. They are. They will remain, I've said in a piece this morning, they will remain neutered and supine until Boris or his successor screws up so substantially that we give them another chance. But right now, they're unelectable.
Yeah, you make a really interesting point there, because now the Tories are the party of working class communities in the north, and also kind of, you know, the home counties in the south. You know, he's kind of got to appease a lot of, you know, a very broad spectrum of people, and that's a lot of responsibility now. It's all on Boris, isn't it? There's no blame. There's no slim
what
majority.
What politicians are supposed to do, isn't it? I mean, there's been a lot of there's some of the BBC sort of questioning this morning seemed a bit bizarre. It was like saying, well, you're going to have to run the country now. And it's like, yeah, that was the kind of point of the election. I mean, I know Boris is a sort of Marmite figure, but if you look at his track record, I don't see, I mean, you know, this kind of hard right thing, it doesn't really, when he's been in power, which is really the mayoralty, 2 terms as London mayor, and what, about 130 days or something as PM. When he was London mayor, he was, and I did not back him. I was at a different newspaper at the time, and I backed Ken Livingstone because we had the pick, and I got it completely wrong because I was a bit suspicious of Boris. But he turned out to be a really good London mayor, and it's kind of hard. It's a difficult job, as Sadiq's finding out. You do suffer the slings and arrows of a very critical media, but he wrote it really well, and he did some, apart from the garden bridge, which is obviously an ongoing
and the job, illegal water cannons that we can't use.
And the illegal water cannons. But he, I mean, for example, Boris in the 2 terms built more social housing than Ken in his million terms. Ken, the Labour Party, obviously the Labour Party stalwart. Boris the Tory built more affordable social housing than Ken had ever done. Stuff like that that just kind of gets kind of glossed over, but is really important.
No, he's a total pinko liberal, actually. He's a cuddly character, old Boris.
He's not anywhere near as bad as his enemies would paint him. That's what I would say.
Okay, it must have been a ghostwriter that called black people pickaninnies then, and referred to gay people as bum boys, and likened women who wear the burqa to letterboxes. That must have been someone else.
Well, I've never read those pieces, so I don't really know. And obviously that's unforgivable. Of course it is. But we've got what we've got, and we're going to have to work with Boris for as long as
he wants.
Wants, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we better get used to it. And the other thing is, I mean, he's a very good negotiator, and he's very good in a meeting, as we know. He turned around in a matter of days what Theresa May and her crew couldn't do in 3 years. And, it, you know, part of that is personality and charm and, you know, force of nature kind of thing.
Mm.
I think it'll be very interesting to watch. I think he fancies himself as a sort of FDR character, and I think there'll be a lot of, once the dust settles, I think you'll see a lot of big kind of showpiece Boris schemes in a kind of Keynesian way to, you know, employ people and invest money in. And I think you'll be, I mean, you know, not like a Hoover Dam, but I think there'll be a lot of big schemes that Boris will put his name to. And I think it'll be interesting times.
Yeah. I mean, this is it. I mean, hopefully this is the beginning of some real optimism. This country has been stymied in limbo for 3 years. And so hopefully now we can get Brexit done. We can start looking beyond Europe. And yeah, maybe this is, maybe he will be the galvanizing force that kicks Britain into the next chapter of our history.
We can only go forward in a spirit of optimism this morning, I think, and see what transpires. There's going to be a lot of hard work, and it ain't going to be easy. We know that, you know, extricating ourselves from the EU, who have proved themselves to be as difficult as possible. It's going to be difficult, but it's not impossible. Nothing's impossible. We'll just have to get on with it.
Exactly, as Boris has proven. Generated a majority in a snap election on the wettest, windiest, grossest night of the year.
Yeah.
And has unseated Dennis Skinner, which is quite remarkable. The
there
Beast of Bolsover.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of scalps last night.
There were. And as I say, there's still, you know, there were places, the Rother Valley, for example.
Rother Valley, yeah.
Yeah, South Yorkshire. It had never ever been anything other than Labour in its, you know, in its history. That area is kind of old mining areas, really, and they are not given to voting Tory or liking Tory or any, you know, and yet they have all voted Tory rather than have Jeremy Corbyn in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Paul, just got,
you know.
We are all Tories now.
We're kind of all, aren't we? We're all One Nation Tories.
Yeah, we're all One Nation Tories, and I'm incredibly excited to see what Boris comes up with. Well, what an exciting countdown we have in January.
I do think you're right. When somebody gets in, you've got to give them a chance, haven't you? Whether you voted for them or whether you didn't, you can't. You've got to judge them from day one, from ground zero right now.
Absolutely.
And let's see what happens.
Absolutely. And we'll be here. Thank you so much for taking the time to call us from your...
Always a pleasure.
Your townhouse. And is it Brighton that you're in tonight? I'm not sure where you are. Thank you again. Yeah, thanks for your time and your penetrating insight. it's always a pleasure. And we'll see you in the new year, because I think you're off on holidays now for a couple of weeks, isn't it?
I'm taking a well-earned rest.
From
the cotton thrust of political journalism.
Yeah. We'll see you in the new year. Thank you, Paul Baldwin. Well done for making it to the end of an episode of Brexit The Final Countdown. If you're still enjoying the countdown, you can subscribe for free. And if you're really enjoying the countdown, you can also leave us a review.